fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and here today with a good friend of mine, Lloyd Greenhall. Lloyd is a collaborator with our ministry at Renewal Ministries. We call a country coordinator. That is, Renewal Ministries, we do a lot of work with the church, with bishops, priests, and lay people around the world in 70 different countries around the world over the last number of years. And we have very dynamic Catholic lay apostles, you might say, those who are engaged in the apostolate of the laity, as the church calls it, and who God has called and gifted to preach the gospel, to help bring life and freedom and the teaching of the church. And Lloyd and his lovely wife, Nancy, have been literally all over the world over the last 20, 25 years and has been key to the work that we've done. And he's in town for some meetings. And I thought, I got to get you on the radio, Lloyd, just to share what God's been doing. So welcome, Lloyd.
It's wonderful to be here, Peter. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'd love to have you just share, to begin with, just your story, because it's so inspiring. We might have done this 15 years ago on the show. I don't remember. But why don't you go ahead and let's start there.
Well, Peter, I guess every one of us, all the listeners as well as us here in the room, we all have like multiple testimonies. And I think maybe your listeners would find it interesting to kind of hear some of the background. I was not a Catholic, wasn't born a Catholic. I was a good Baptist boy, a good evangelical. I really remember my initial conversion. It was a little place called Broadway Baptist Church. And I didn't go there for it was a revival preacher came through town. And I went there because of all the nice-looking girls. But I sat there and listened to this man and preached the revival, and he had an altar call. It's kind of interesting because they don't have altars. We Catholics have altars, but we don't give altar calls.
Yeah.
But anyways, all I know is I couldn't get enough air in the room, and my heart was beating, and I stood up. I don't know why, and I went to the front, and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember they had a big dunking pool there, and he dunked me in there, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and he baptized me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I became a good born-again Christian at that time. But unfortunately, the world's pretty strong, and I became what pretty well known as a good backslidden Baptist. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a lot of things that probably our listeners out there may have experienced or may not experience, but they were not very good things. And so one day I was working for Tom McCann and a shoe store in the North Star Mall in San Antonio. And one day a girl came in, and one of my best friends that worked at Tom McCann was going out with her sister. And so she brought a note for my friend. And so she gave the note right there, and I had probably the most unique pickup line that anyone's ever heard. I said, "Why didn't you write me when I was in Arizona?" She looked at me kind of dumbfounded. And anyways, and then she shared with me later on that every day she brought notes, but sometimes she had to make the notes up herself. we were allowed. She was a relatively young girl. For our listeners out there, we were married when she was 16 and I was 20. But anyways, I began to able to see her, to go out with her older sister and my friend. We would go out to a movie, go out to eat or whatever it might be. And I was really like the girl. And so I said, ask your dad if I could see you more than once a week. And she went to her dad. And I never thought of her dad as an evangelist, but her dad, a good old German man from the hill country of Texas, he said, you'd see more than once a week if he goes to Mass with us on Sunday. And so that sounded like a good trade-off for me, and so I began to go to Mass with him on Sunday, and initially all I understood that there was a great deal of peace when I went to Mass. There was something that I had missed in my church. I enjoyed going there, and maybe we had gone out for maybe a year, and one day she said, "You know what, I'd never marry a man unless he was a Catholic." And suddenly the Holy Spirit filled my heart and said, "You must be Catholic." And so that was my initial conversion into the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And once again, you try to walk the walk, you try to talk the talk, you try to be holy. And, you find that in your own power, you can't do this. And very, very soon, I find myself lapsing back into some of the things that I was not all that proud of and things here.
This has been in your like early 20s, are you talking
about? In the early 20s and things here. And anyways, my wife is a beautiful, beautiful lady. She's You know, she has basically been God's chosen instrument to bring me out of darkness into the light many, many times. She's my own personal evangelist, if you would. But she was always looking for more. You know, I was pretty happy. Peter, at that time, I had initially, when we were first married, I worked for the San Antonio Fire Department, and I had moved up the ranks into an engineer and things here. But one of the captains in the fire department there, he thought I had this ability to sell. And so he was in this one of a chemical company and selling different type of odor counteractant devices to all of the animal labs over in San Antonio, Texas, Brooks Air Force Base and things here. So I began working for him and found that I did have an ability to sell and things. And slowly, slowly, I was offered a job by a manufacturer of automotive equipment to represent them. And so I quit the fire department to go to work for this manufacturer of automotive equipment. And I found out I had a real affinity for it. And I began to do quite well. I was president of the Million Dollar Club, on the advisory board to management, salesman of the year, all your typical things. And you know, I found that all of the training I did to become a salesman, psycho-cybernetics, Think and Grow Rich, the Power of Positive Thinking, See You at the Top, all of these things here, were preparing me for what God really wanted me to do. But that's all part of God's plan. He goes so far ahead of us. And sometimes we think that we're far away, but God has got us in His hand. He's working very diligently to bring us where He wants us to and to equip us that when we get there, that we can serve Him in many ways. So my wife was, you know, we were making a lot of money. We had a wonderful house. I had boats and cars. I had an airplane. I had a pilot. My children went to the best Catholic schools. But my wife was looking for more. She was just looking for something. You know, I was pretty happy. Everybody was patting me on the back, telling me that I was the best thing since sliced bread. And they would fly me to this place and to that place and, you know, buy me these $300 bottle of wines. And, you know, I was pretty happy. But she was looking for more. And one day she drugged me to a program in the church, and it was some priest, and he gave a little talk, and we were supposed to then to share our deepest and darkest secrets with people in the room. We had no idea who they were. Like, that's not going to happen, you know? Yeah. I told my wife, never drag me to one of those things again. And sure enough, a little bit later, she said, well, you know, they've got another program at church now, and you know, please would you take me there? Because she was a very shy girl at that time. She's turned into a roaring lion now, but at that time, she was quite shy. And I said, well, I told you, I'm not going to go. She said, please, please, please take me one time. So I said, I'll go with you the first night. And so anyways, we went there, and I took her the first night, and they started us off with a little skit, Peter. The skit was, it's 10 years after Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary. There's no Bible yet. The church is all underground, no visible church and things here. And you're supposed to explain to another Jew why you follow this man, Jesus Christ, that died shamefully upon a cross, a criminal, naked on that cross. And it was an interesting thought, and I don't know whether anybody out there could, putting themselves in that situation, would have a really good explanation as to why you follow Jesus. So, you know, I followed Jesus because my wife brought me into the church. I followed Jesus because, you know, I was president of the parish council and, you know, all of these things. But, you know, I didn't have this relationship. Maybe some people out there can relate to this. I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't really know Jesus. I didn't know him. I mean, it's just kind of like President Bush from my home state of Texas. Well, I knew Barbara, and I knew George, and I knew their children. I knew their dogs. I knew a lot about them, but I couldn't go up to them and say, hey, George, how you doing? Because I don't know him, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the way I was with Jesus. And so I went back that night and I began to really think, you know, why in fact do I follow this man, Jesus? And so mysteriously, I began to change my schedule. So I was there, and I think it was the third or fourth week, the priest said, well, tonight we're going to be praying for one another. I'll be praying for you.
So this was a course in the parish?
Yeah, it was a course. Okay. Actually, Peter, it's kind of unique here. The course was formulated by a priest by the name of Father Jack McGinnis out of Pentecostal, Florida.
Pensacola?
Pensacola, that's okay. It, mm-hmm. Florida. And anyways, it was called Two by Two Before Him. And of all things, Peter, it was a study of the Vatican II documents. Now, I don't know how many people out there have been converted by studying the Vatican II documents, but I'm kind of one of those weird people. And yeah. I love, and intellectually it appealed to me, and especially this document of the lay apostolate, when it said that every one of us is an apostle. Every one of us, depending on our station in life and our ability, our education, has a job. And the job is put out by Pope John Paul II in the Mission of the Redeemer that he sensed at the time had come for every institution in the church and every individual to proclaim Christ to the nations, to all peoples and things. And that resonated in my heart and in my wife's heart. So anyways, that was kind of the beginning of another conversion in our life. I think we have these multiple conversions.
Yeah.
When he prayed for us and laid hands on us, it was kind of funny because we had no idea what was going on. We'd never been to anything like that before. And they said, well, anybody that wants us to pray for them. So I stood up and they prayed for me. They said, well, what would you like prayer for today? And I don't know, you know, maybe for my job, for my health and stuff here. But as other people got up and began to receive prayer, I said, well, wait, this is a little deeper than I thought. And so I started to get back up again. My wife grabbed me and said, no, you're not going to get up again. That's so embarrassing that you try to double dip in things here. But even then, I wanted more in things here. But all I know is prior to that day, prior to that night, if I needed to go to sleep, I didn't need a sleeping pill. Just open the Bible. I'd read about 2 pages of the Bible, and it would knock me out, and my lights would go out and things here. But after that, I began to read the Bible, and it was like the words would jump off the page, and like they were written for me that morning, and they had a relevance and meaning and purpose to my life. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, they talk about the bells and the buzzers of a conversion experience. And, Peter, we didn't have that, but what we had was a deep longing and a deep search for the truth for the Lord. I mean, he was working at us in a deeper way, in a different way than I've seen many other people come to the Lord. But that was really the beginning of this journey to the Lord. And from there, you know, we a couple of weeks later, you know, Peter, you go to Mass on Sunday, and you know, you think that that's sufficient. But see, when you go through a program, a small group program like that, all of a sudden you say, well, wow, that's really not enough. You know, it creates a longing for a community, a longing for more than what we're experiencing just at Mass on Sunday. And, you know, Mass on Sunday is fantastic. You know, we meet, encounter the Lord, but there's more. You know, our life needs more than just that Mass on Sunday and things here. And so these people that we had gone through the program with, they said, well, we have a little prayer group that meets at the church. Would you you guys want to come to a prayer meeting? And I don't know what a prayer meeting is. And we decided that we were going to go to this prayer meeting. And so that first night we were sitting in the prayer meeting, and these people began to make noises and to do things here that I, you know, man, I'm looking at the door and I'm looking at my wife, and we're, oh man, you know, I can't wait to get out of here because this is really strange. And so when we left that night, we vowed we're never coming back to that. That's just too weird for us. Yeah. And yet there was something had been enkindled in us, Peter, and the God had a plan for us, and he brought us back again and again.
Yeah, no, there's more to that story. I just looked down. We just have a few seconds left on the program. Lord, thanks so much for sharing that. It's a wonderful story about how God's alive. I love what Pope John Paul II used to say, you know, that the Catholic lives with the conviction Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, that he's alive, that he's acting in the present, that he's here to change lives. And that's really the story for you guys. And I'm going to, can you be with us tomorrow so we can pick up on the story?
I'd love to. Thank you.
All right. Friends, you need to know as well, those who are listening, that God has a plan for your life, a plan for good, and a plan for his glory. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.